It's a wondrous thing to be able to come together and to sing God's praises together. When you start to get to a point where you're listening to the words and start applying those words to your heart, it's just amazing what that does for you and the song. And let me tell you what, I don't know what 10,000 years will bring, but I know where I'll be. We're going to be back in 1 John in the 3rd chapter, verses 19 through 21. The assurance of love. What a journey we've been on so far, and we still got a little over 2 chapters to go. If we don't get the point, there's something wrong with us. If we don't take all of this to heart and examine our hearts and our lives, there's probably something wrong. I struggle every time I come in here after delving into 1 John and just wondering, how do I measure up? And to be honest with you, there's times when I realize totally that I don't measure up. I realize that I have made mistakes, that I have harbored hard feelings in my heart. I have done all these things, and the next thing I know is I feel guilty. Which is a good thing. Feeling guilty about doing wrong or doing something that I'm not supposed to is a good thing. Except I have a Lord and Savior who specializes in taking the guilt away and letting us live a life guilt-free. So this morning, if you're here today, in particular if you're harboring hard feelings or you've done hateful things to people, your brothers and sisters in Christ or others outside of God's family, today I think will help us get past those things and to absolutely show love to those who don't love us. In order to do that, we're going to have to go back to verse 18 in the 3rd chapter of 1 John. And we're going to be talking about a heart that's true. In verse 18, and we touched on it last week, but my dear children, might we not be loving in word, nor in deed, nor in tongue, but in deed and truth. All right? We can talk about loving someone all we want, but we don't actually love them until we show them love. Love is a action word. In other words, in order to express true love, you're going to have to do something. We talk about loving God all the time, but God doesn't count it talking about Him. He counts our actions. And it's the same way. It's the same way when we or say that we love our brothers and sisters in Christ, but we're not doing anything. Talk is cheap, as they say. So, my dear children, might we not be loving in word nor in tongue, but indeed in truth. And then, verse 19, the reason why I went back to 18 is because 19 is predicated upon verse 18. Verse 19 says, and in this, and in what? In this, loving in actions, in deed and in truth, we will know for ourselves that we are of the truth, and before Him our heart will be assured. If we love in action, in deed, and in truth, we can know. In this, we can know for ourselves that we're of the truth, and before Him our heart will be assured. What we're talking about heart is a clean conscience. We're talking about the guilt that we have sometimes in life. We can have a clean conscience by loving in deed and not in word only. Most people have feelings for a person when they see him in suffering and need. And most people will talk about that concern, express their concern for the needy and the suffering. I mean, there's a whole lot of suffering going on all across this world. And we'll see it on TV and we'll have a compassion for it. But I want you to just notice this. If the needy and the suffering person has done evil against us, or we just simply don't like them, then the feelings of people may change. From, oh, that's so sad. Sorry to hear about that. I hate that that happened to them. But if it's somebody we don't like, somebody that we actually hate, somebody has done things to us wrong, what do we say? Well, we no longer can feel compassion for them. We no longer feel ready to reach out and comfort them. And our attitude becomes something like this. Well, he deserved it. He's just getting paid back. He's just getting paid back. God is judging him for his evil. Well, he made his bed, now he can lie in it. Well, he's reaping, and this is a biblical principle. He is reaping what he sowed. Well, if he wasn't so lazy, he'd find work. And he can better himself if he just tried. We don't say that about people we love. But if we kind of take delight in the fact that people that we don't like or don't like us or done something bad to us, we kind of take delight that they're going through some problems. Don't we? All of us at some point in time have said something along those lines. While this attitude is going through our minds, we still will profess to love God and to be caring about people. That should hurt all of us, okay? I'm hurting right now. It should hurt y'all. Because I don't think I'm the only one who's said those things or thought those things. Well, I am just right with God. But boy, look at him. He got what he deserved. You see what I'm talking about? I can't say that I'm right with God and I'm not loving a brother, even though they have hurt me or I don't like them. To love only those who love us is to love only in theory. It's hypothetical. And it's only love in speech. You can talk all you want to, but your actions will betray you. It's not like the loving that God loved us with. It's not the practicing of the love of God. You know, the love of God that gave His only begotten Son for us while we were committing evils against Him, denying Him. That's the kind of love we have to have. I want you to note the result here, though. If we love God as God loves, and if we love those who do evil, then we know that we're of the truth. God is truth. He does exactly what should be done. He loves everyone, even those who do evil. Therefore, if we are to be of the truth, we also must love those who do evil. And if you're having trouble relating to this, I think that you probably can pull up in your mind somebody that you've absolutely hated before in your life. Someone who's done you so wrong, they may hate your guts and you hate theirs and you don't want to have anything to do with them ever again. And if something bad was to happen to them, you'd think, well, good, they deserved it. Can you think of somebody like that? And it may have been just for a little period of time, or you may be harboring that even today. We are not showing God's love to those folks. We must love all of those who oppose us. Let me tell you something. This world today, especially in this country, politically speaking, there are two groups of people that hate each other. There is absolutely no love found for each other. You're either on one side or the other. And increasingly, you cannot even have a difference of opinion without someone hating you. Don't believe it? Start watching the news. Keep up with it. And notice how much hate is going into our world today simply because someone believes something a little different. When we do, though, when we do love those who oppose us, when we do love those who hate us, the most wonderful things can happen. And this verse tells us it can bring assurance to our heart. Our hearts are assured before Him. It means that we're accepted by Him. It says we're doing what He wants us to do in life. And there's something about loving someone who is unlovable. It's something about loving someone who is hateful to you, or you just hate. It's done bad things to you. When you do that, things change. Things change. Not only in your life, but it'll change the other person too that you're loving on. Trust me, I understand this principle. You just keep loving them. They may still hate you, but you know what? Your heart will change towards them when you start loving on them. We are loving all men as He loves all men. Loving those who are evil. A clean heart. A heart that is full of assurance. A heart that knows that it is pleasing and acceptable to God is a heart that loves even as God loves. A clean heart is wrought not by loving in word, but by loving in deed. You can't just talk about it. You have to show that love. And what that gives you is when you start loving on those who are hateful to you or that you hate, you give God all kinds of opportunities, not only in your heart, but the heart of the person that probably needs Him in their heart. In the next verse, verse 20, there's something greater than the heart. And it says, because if the heart may be condemning of us, because God is greater than our heart, and He is knowing all things. A clean conscience. What that means is that you're actually loving on somebody, or that you're trying to get your life right, and you allow God to come in and change your heart concerning other people. A clean conscience is made by God by knowing all things. Note the words, if our heart may be condemning of us. Have your heart ever been condemning of you? Have you ever done something wrong and you knew it and you couldn't sleep at night because you just couldn't deal with the guilt of what you've done? It may have been something minor. It might have been something you've been hateful on somebody when you shouldn't have been. It bothers you. It's a feeling. Everyone's heart condemns them sometimes. Everyone in here knows that feeling I just described. Every one of us knows what it is to sense right, wrong, and condemnation. God has made our hearts sensitive so that we'll sense wrongdoing. Why does He do that? Why do we have a conscience to begin with? So that we can correct our wrongdoing. There are a lot of folks out there that have no conscience, or they've trained their conscience, their moral standards, to something totally different. And what He's saying here is this. God made our hearts to be sensitive to sin and wrongdoing. And so that conscience, that guilt, is there to help us not do those things again. Because sometimes That guilt, that condemnation of the heart will absolutely destroy us. God is greater than our hearts, and He knows all things. And so this means two things. First, God knows everything about us. Are you trying to hide something from God? If you are, it's foolish. He already knows. He knows when we're good, and He knows when we're bad. He knows everything that we do, and more, He even knows our thoughts. Second, He knows how to assure our hearts and give confidence towards us and toward Him. God knows how to deliver us from the sense of guilt and condemnation. Let me ask you something. Are you living your life with guilt and condemnation? You're just no good. I'm just no good. I've done all these things. I've hurt people. I've hated on people so much that I don't even know how to get rid of it. God does. God knows exactly. You ask for forgiveness. And then once you ask for His forgiveness, you make it right with the people that you've hurt. And then guess what? It's done. It's over. And sometimes, even when you do that, even when you get right with God and the things that's committed before you got right with God, still feel guilty about. God is greater than the guilt. God is greater than your feelings. How can God remove all the guilt and condemnation that weighs upon our hearts and life? He does it by love. But Brother Randy, you don't know the people that I'm thinking about, that I just don't like. You don't know what they've done to me. I could never forgive them. I could never love on them. I could never do this. Thus you continue to have your guilt because you know it's wrong. Trust me, I've struggled with this a lot. I've had people do some really bad things to me for apparently no reason. I guess maybe I deserved it. I don't know. And you have to make a decision. And that's what agape love truly is talking about. Where when someone does something bad to you, you make a decision to love them anyway. Isn't that what God did for us? When we turned our backs on Him, when they were driving the nails through His feet and hands, it can't get any worse than that, guys. Somebody doing something to you. But Jesus was on that cross, and what did He say? Father, forgive them. If it had been me, there'd been some fire and brimstone being hauled down from heaven. I can guarantee you that. But what did He do? He loved on us. He made the decision, no matter what we did, He was going to love us. Jesus Christ loved us so much that when we receive His Son, God's Son, as our Savior, we discover the most wonderful thing, that Jesus Christ removes a sense of guilt and condemnation. He actually forgives and He cleanses us from the power of sin. But what if we've been walking in love and yet our heart still condemns us? What if that we can't forget the past and that we're still got that guilt and that shame about our past and the things that we did when we weren't loving other people? John assures us of this. God is greater than our heart. What we feel is not what the truth is. How many of y'all have ever worried about something that's going to happen or didn't happen, that you thought might happen, and in your feelings you just thought it was truth? It was just absolute truth, and then all of a sudden, guess what? You found out it's not, and you go, oh. But you thought it was true, and your feelings made you think that it was true.
But it wasn't. So can you trust your feelings? No. And so how do you know what's true? How do you know what's right? Because let me tell you what, there have been times when somebody's made me mad enough, my feelings told me I wanted to punch them. Right? We've all been there, right? We just got mad. We just wanted to hit somebody. So guess what? If you go by your feelings, you're going to end up with a battery charge, probably. Back in my day, it wouldn't have been anything, would it, Dan? We just went on. But today, they'd have all the police involved. But, so your feelings, you can't go by your feelings. And so right now, if you're feeling guilt about past actions, if you're feeling guilt about things that you've done or said, and you're right with God now, He's forgiven them. He's wiped them off. You have a God that is greater than your feelings. I do not have to feel great and get up and make a fool of myself to say that I'm a saved child of God. Because there's days I don't feel like a saved child of God. There are days that I feel like, how in the world did they even let me in the pulpit? I can't trust my feelings. But when I, in 1973, on July 4th, when I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart and my life, that was the truth. I was changed. I was a saved child of God. And guess what? It don't matter how I feel, it doesn't change that fact. I can have assurance because of what God has placed in me. I may not always show it, but it's there. And then the last verse is a heart that gives confidence. Beloved, if our heart may not be condemning, we are having confidence towards God. If our heart may not be condemning, something else happens as well here. We discover that we love everyone just as He loves everyone. Think about that. When we have Him, the Spirit of God, dwelling within us, and we take on His characteristics, we should be loving everyone as He loves everyone. We can discover that. I remember, right after I accepted Christ my Savior, I didn't have one evil thought whatsoever. I didn't have one thought. I was sitting there going, all I could think about was telling everybody that Jesus Christ was real and He had saved me. I didn't care about any enemies. As a matter of fact, I wanted everybody to hear it. Now, as the years have passed, I've learned to overcome the love and to hate a little bit. I went back to the world a little bit many, many times, and so probably have you. Our attitude towards others when we were saved and converted actually changed. We love everyone, and we want them to know the love of God just as we've come to know His love. We want them to know the love that we experienced by our salvation. So when we hate on people, and we're truly saved, and we begin hating people, guess what? What we're saying is that we are not loving like God actually loved. We are loving with conditions. As long as you treat me right, then I'm going to treat you right. But if you don't, boy, there's going to be something to pay. Oh, our churches are filled with that kind of attitude, simply. And most are saved children of God. But they're not acting like it. They're not loving like it. Our nature before we were saved was the nature of hate, of selfishness, of loving only ourselves. And when we were saved, we became a new creature, a new nature. And that new nature was to love everyone. Our hearts just flow in full assurance and confidence when we start loving the unlovable. We'll know that all things are well and good with God and yourself. You'll know that there's no more condemnation and there's just no more guilt. When you begin to love others as He loves us, we will start to draw closer to God. And there's no doubt in that. If someone is in true fellowship with God, not deceiving oneself, as you find in 1 John 1:6, then the assurance that comes to his heart while fellowshipping with God is a precious thing. I wish I would experience that more often than I do. And the sad thing is, maybe some of you may not have ever experienced that, or been so long because of the hate in our hearts for some other people. And this is what Paul spoke of in Romans 8:16, when he said, "The Spirit Himself bears witness to our spirit that we are children of God." The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We can be assured that we're of Him when we love in the way that He loves others. There's a wonderful story about a man. This man's name was Jake. And Jake was the meanest, drunkest man in town. He would come to church from time to time. But when he'd come to church, he would always just come to beat up the elders. I mean, literally. He just did not like those folks. But he'd come, and of course, when he'd show up, they'd all go, here he is again. One Wednesday night, Jake came to church. But not to beat up on anybody. Remarkably, that night, Jake gave his life to Christ. He walked down the aisle of that little church and he kneeled at the altar and was saved. The next night, there was another meeting at the church and the pastor asked if anybody wanted to share what God was doing in their lives. Jake stood up and everybody got a little concerned, especially the elders. He says, I have something to say. Last night when I came here, I hated you people. All the people's not, the other one, yeah, you did. They knew it. But something happened to me, and I don't understand this. But tonight, I love you. What happened? What happened was Jake experienced the love of God, and Jake had a new nature. And that new nature was to love one another, to love everyone, just as Christ loved us. And even though he only had one tooth, he smiled really big. God can change your life. And we can have confidence towards God if we just allow Him to clear our hearts out and we walk close to Him and begin to love others. We can have confidence in God. What that word confidence means in the ancient Greek was the valued right of a citizen of a free state, the right to speak his mind unhampered by fear or shame. You're a saved child of God. He loves you. And there's no more shame or regret or guilt because you're walking with Him in fellowship with Him. And you're right with Him. You can have trust in Him. You can give your heart and your life to Him. You can begin to trust Him more and more with the things of your life. How precious is the confidence that we can have in Jesus Christ? There is such a thing as false confidence. A confidence in self or illusions. But there's an awesome confidence that we can have in Jesus. And we can see, the world can see, that confidence when you walk up to your bitterest enemy and you tell them you love them, or you show them in some way that you love them. The world's going to go, after what he did to you? And you're going to understand the love of God and how it's going to draw you closer to Him each and every time that you love someone who's unlovable.
Every time. And it'll give you confidence in Him. You don't have to worry about the guilt or the shame anymore. You just ask for forgiveness and go on, because He's put all that behind you. Because our God is greater than the way we feel. Right now you may have the bitterest enemy, just someone you just absolutely hate. But our God is bigger than our hearts. He can help you show that love. Look, if somebody's done you wrong, hurt you in some way, don't go back for seconds. Okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about showing them that you still care, that you do love them, that you want them to have what's best for them. But you want to give them a piece of what God has given you. There have been so many lives changed by that one word of love. God can use the love you show for others, and He can use it to change the lives of people around you. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter how bad a person they are. God loved them, so we must love them too. This morning, if you don't understand what I've been saying, is a good indication to me that you probably have never asked Jesus Christ into your life. That you've never experienced the love of God. Because once you've experienced, you understand it. You may not do it, but you understand it. If there was ever a point in time when you asked Jesus Christ into your life, where you put your faith and hope and trust in Him, and He came and put it into you a new spirit, where all of a sudden you knew about His love, about His unconditional love. If you've never done that, then you won't understand the power of that kind of love and why it's so necessary to show it to others. But I also believe, too, that if you're here in that condition, never having accepted Christ as Savior, I'll tell you, I believe right now Jesus is calling and touching your heart right now, wanting you to come and accept Him today. And for the rest of us, saved children of God who have the Spirit of God within us, and that we have a new nature of love that we're supposed to show, why aren't we doing it? Why aren't we? Why do we still hate? Why do we not love the way God loves? Well, number one, we're not perfect. Number one, we're sinners. Number two may be that we're drifting away from God and His nature. Maybe we've forgotten what it was like to love truly as God loves, instead of loving in the way that, well, the world loves. I'll love you if you'll love me. I'll like you if you'll like me. If you do something for me good, I will do something for you also. The love of God says, I'll love you despite what you do. I'll love you despite what you say. I'll love you despite how you act. And I'm going to keep loving you until you reciprocate that love back. How many of y'all feel guilty now? Yeah? Yeah. I have a God that's greater than that. He's greater than that. We just come to Him this morning and we can tell Him, Lord, I'm going to give it to you. You are greater than the way I feel right now. I'm going to give it to you, and I am going to go about this day, and I'm going to begin to love people. I'm going to begin to put aside all those issues and problems in my life with other people, and I'm going to begin just make it, you know, love them. I'm going to write them a card and tell them we appreciate them. I'm going to make a phone call and just say I'm thinking of you. I'm going to confront somebody and I'm going to say, I love you, brother, but you know. And I'm going to show you God's love. We can do that today. And guess what? When we begin to do those things, we'll get drawn closer to God and we'll have more confidence in Him. Hey, if he can change so-and-so, he can change anybody. Is there someone in your life that you think God can't change? Is there someone in your life that's so evil and mean and nasty and bad that can't be changed? Well, there's your problem right there. You're not having confidence in God, are you? God said, just love them and let me do the work. Will you do that this morning? Will you allow to grow, draw closer to Him by loving others the way He did us? So as we stand and we have an invitation, I don't know your heart, I don't know your life, I just know that God is probably working on all of our hearts right now. I know that He's probably telling us that we've got some things that we need to do better as far as loving others. Maybe not. I have a feeling that that's the case for all of us, that we're not where we need to be, we're not drawing close to God, and that we're not loving the way that He loves. And if you're here today and you've never been to that point where you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me ask you a question. Right now you've heard what He has done for us. He sent His Son to die for us so that we have hope and eternal life. And so if He's done that, He's loved you enough for just for you. And right now I believe He's calling you. I believe He's dealing with your heart saying, you need to come. Will you do that this morning? Will you experience for the first time the love of God in your heart and your life? So as we sing, we're going to allow you to make those decisions. And if you feel like you need to make a decision, come forward and get it right with you. So as we sing.